Hi, everyone. It's Kevin. Today is Thursday, November 19th. And today on the podcast, I have the great pleasure of speaking with EB's Senior Vice President of Programs and Planning, Kurt Hesch, who has been a great source of knowledge and a great help to me in my everyday work. So 2 weeks ago, the Navy announced that they exercised the previously established options that award EB $9.5 billion worth of contracts for the construction of the first two ships of the Columbia class. So today, Kurt is going to provide his perspective on where we stand across all of our programs, along with his insights about our customers' needs. So, Kurt, before we begin, congratulations on your 40-year tenure at EB and a new status as a member of the 2020 class of distinguished shipbuilders. That is quite an accomplishment in our business. And for the benefit of some of our newer employees, let's hear a little bit about your background here at EB.
Thank you, Kevin. I have seen quite a bit here. I've seen the pendulum swing from seven ships delivered in 1981, including the first Ohio class that the Columbia will replace. And then we also went to where we went 6 years without a delivery before we were actually able to get the lead ship Virginia done. But now we're back to a growing business, and it's great to see. But I will say this 40th year has been the strangest year yet.
You could say that again. Wow. 2020 is one that goes in the record books from my perspective. So, Kurt, you've got a unique perspective, and I rely on that on a daily basis. So your knowledge of our programs is deep and wide, and you understand our customer very, very well. You also understand one heck of a lot of our processes across the shipyard just based on your tenure. So let's start there. Let's talk a little bit about the customer, and what do you think is top of mind for the Navy, and how can we better support the fleet?
So there is a lot of submarine news lately for a whole bunch of reasons. Obviously, the Columbia award is the number one program, more than a decade in the making, is the biggest one. But the senior leadership in the Pentagon Navy is also aligning on the need for more attack submarines, which again bodes well for our future demand signal. The talk's now 70 to 80 subs, which would require three per year. On the flip side, the customer is concerned that, hey, EB's plate's pretty full already. It's only getting fuller, and their biggest measure is getting VCS ships to the fleet.
So this is a good opportunity to think about and to make sure people understand what's actually happening in the Groton shipyard today. And when you think about the waterfront, you can think of quite a few hulls that are stretching from the north end of the yard down to the south end of the yard. This is the most work we've had in about 30 years, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it definitely is. And frankly, getting these ships to the fleet all comes through here in Groton operations. So right now we have Engraving Dock 1 and Engraving Dock 2. We have two PSAs going on. Both are doing first-time VCS work. One's on acoustic superiority package, and one's a bow dome replacement. Those both deliver in second quarter of next year, and both have high attention from the Navy admirals in the fleet. We also have on the north wing wall, Oregon, ready to get into its critical test and sea trials early next year. Then back into the building, we have in Bay 5, the Rickover, which is driving to where it can roll out and launch in the second quarter of next year. That whole ship went pressure complete in September. And next to it in Bay 3 is the 797. It has the reactor plan all the way through the stern, all together there. We're pushing towards our reactor plant path, which would allow 2B-5 to then end load. Now, at that point, we'll be waiting for a bow from Newport News that comes in mid-year next year. But that is a very important ship for us. Then Bay 2, which we made available earlier this year by relocating the tool crib, we made great progress on the 799 RPM and the 67 mids, which is the module that goes right with that. That set up our best nuclear path schedule performance in 7 years. We're off to keep up with that. Our teamwork and preparedness, including use of the ALCs, have led to high first-time quality in the piping and structural welding paths. Great improvement there. And we are still waiting on that boat for some other modules to arrive. We recently sent one of our hull butt teams to Newport News to join Section 8 and Section 9. That's the back end of the ship. We build Section 8 at Quonset. Newport News builds Section 9 down there. Due to some delays in Section 9, we actually sent Section 8 down there and a team to go do that hole, but they did a great job, great work, great quality demonstrated in that EB's team performance.
So we are spread out here in the yard and also spread out across our partner Newport News and within the vendor base. So let's talk a little bit more about that. So we've had a few examples this year where we've sent some of our experts to work with our suppliers and partners to help them overcome some challenges. And we got an opportunity to go to BAE in Louisville earlier this year to see what our team was doing on missile tubes to share their welding experience. And that was one of the more rewarding trips I think I've been on in my career, to watch our young people and some of our more senior guys work together to not only get the work done, but also train the people from the business that they were in to help them get better. And I think we've seen some great improvement there. So I think that becomes a model for us going well into the future. So let's talk a little bit more about that. What else are we doing, and what's your perspective on all that?
Yeah, that's a great explanation, Kevin. That's very important to us. As we grow the submarine business, we need more suppliers as well as ourselves. You know, that's very important. This example at BAE was critical to getting VPM tubes out. We have an example that we just sent some people over to Babcock Marine in the UK to work on tubes for the Columbia. Again, very much a send a team to help build a team, and that's going to be critical for us going forward to achieve the volume we need to. We also are now starting that up at W International, which is a startup firm that's working steel work for us. So that's all very important to
that's,
us.
That W International is down in South Carolina, isn't it?
Right. It's actually where Electric Boat had some facilities in the heydays of the 80s and early 90s. I don't want to forget that the 801 on the waterfront, also in Bay 2, is a key nuclear structure, major piping progress, again, demonstrating our objective to be able to work every nuclear path job every day. So when you kind of sum all that up, we got two PSAs, we got our five remaining Block 4 deliveries, all very active in Groton. It's really the most reactor plant work on our waterfront in about 25 years. We do foresee some challenges with the cadence of module arrivals, but that can't distract from our performing to our standards on safety, quality, and frankly, the team sport of delivering nuclear submarines alongside our Navy crews.
Really well put. And, you know, I got an opportunity to be at corporate this week talking about our operating plan for the coming four years. And one of the things I noted was that we've got next year, the Virginia program will deliver or redeliver six submarines. Five of those submarines are planned on being here in Groton. So we've got certainly our work cut out for us. So while that gives us a good rundown of what's happening today, let's talk a little bit about the future. I want to give our folks a bit of what the Navy may be planning on beyond Columbia and Virginia, and I think that's particularly important to our engineering team. So based on what we know, there's a few more blocks of Virginia submarines coming to us, we think. And then what are we doing in terms of the next generation attack submarine, SSNX?
Yeah, Kevin, we still believe there's going to be two more blocks of Virginia beyond the Block 5 we have now. How much they change, you know, compared to what we're building today with VPM is uncertain, but my expectation is quite a bit of change for some other missions and also to learn for the next SSN platform. Kind of like the back end of the 688 class, we did some changes to that were to help inform what turned out to be the Seawolf class. The SSNX platform, that platform really is still a clean sheet of paper. There's been different reviews and studies of it, and our Conform group is doing work on it. But my hope is that it lets a generation of EB employees really generate platforms that surpass our adversaries' aspirations to meet the national security needs. We've been doing a lot of affordability versions of submarines. We need to go push the capability further.
You know, I think when I talk to our young people, I often tell them, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? I mean, think about what we've got. We've got a great product. It's in high demand for both Virginia and Columbia. And it's a highly adaptable platform. We're doing some things with that even today in the shipyard on the 90 boat, for example, and what we'll be doing with seabed warfare on the Virginia platform going forward. It is a tremendous time to be a submarine shipbuilder. So thanks, Kurt. I think a great opportunity for us to tie up and convey to folks just what it is we've got going on across all our programs and how that cadence is only going to be stronger as we continue to move forward with full construction on Columbia and two Virginias per year, potentially three Virginias a year. For continued insights from Kurt, I encourage you to check out his periodic blog posts on Homeport. It's always an upbeat and informative window into both EB's business and family life. And Kurt, thanks for sharing all that with us. So Kurt, thanks again for being here today with me, and thanks to all of you for listening. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Kevin.